Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along to the Monday episode. And if you're IFS, you get this on Sunday evening, if that's when we record it. And that's when we are recording it. And not only that, Sam, a pat on the back to me and you, because today is the fifth anniversary of that very first episode of Top Flight Time Machine going out, when we were just a humble little podcast. All we wanted to do was look at the Premier League history, season by season, a maximum of 25 episodes in total. We were just doing one every 2 weeks. We were just little pod babies. We didn't know what we were doing, blindly stumbling our way through the podosphere. And now look at us, 5 years on, knocking out five a week like we don't give a fuck. Well done, us.
Well done, us. Well done, everyone. Especially us.
Merely us.
What was the first episode? So what was that? The season 92-93?
92-93, yeah.
The thing I always...
That might be a good idea.
It'd be interesting to listen to it. The thing I always remember is someone tweeting or someone writing somewhere like a while back, oh, the funniest thing in one of the first episodes is Sam actually asks Andy, is it okay to say cunt?
So, and you've never looked back since I gave you the green light.
No, once going the green light, I ran away with it. What is it available?
It's on all the usual pod outlets. It's not on the IFS because we couldn't put everything on pre-IFS, kind of backdated. So unfortunately, it's not on there. But if you go
it's
on
free
Spotify,
to air, if you Google
Apple,
it, yeah.
You just Google it, yeah. Just Google Top 5 Time Machine 92-93 and it'll be there. I wonder if we go back and listen to it again, it'll be like, you know, when you see in those comedy shows where they have kind of pretend footage of the BBC newsreaders of the 1950s wearing dinner jackets.
Yeah,
and
we did wear dinner jackets in those early episodes, didn't we?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
We were both naked from the waist down, I remember that much.
Yeah, but waist up, it was all dicky bow and dinner jacket, yeah.
Dinner jackets. Welcome along, this is a brand new podcast for your delectation. We're calling it Top Flight Time Machine, and we're going to look back at the Premier League history.
What you are about to hear is a podding cast-a-thon. That means it is an audio recording available via your Apple iPod. Simply select,
grasped,
play, and listen. When it is complete, put your iPod away, remove your headphones, and go to sleep.
If your iPhone is warm, put it into the fridge until tomorrow morning, when it will be safe to use once again. Yeah.
Podding back
then. Five whole years ago. And look at us now. We did a tweet and an Instagram post just to commemorate the anniversary. And, I mean, you know, I've been knocked sideways, I'll say, by the outpouring of love for the podcast that's come from everybody on Twitter and on Instagram.
I haven't seen it.
There's been some...
I'm going to look.
Sit yourself down. Maybe get a Guinness Zero or something like that later on.
Why don't I do it live? It'll be really interesting. You can just listen to me, like, laughing, crying, moaning, whining. This is the sound of Sam listening to your feedback.
I could read them all out, and you can mark them out of 10 if you want. Appropriate you think they are.
Okay, right, hang on a second. Yeah, right.
You're going to have a look now, are you?
Yeah, I'm looking now. Just have a quick look, see what anyone says.
I'm just going to read them silently and just do the noise. Yeah, he likes them. This is like listening to Chewbacca. Star Wars. Trying to gauge his reactions from his noses.
No! Oh. No!
No, didn't like that one. Oh.
Yeah, that, I mean, I'm scanning them, and it, no, but those were feelings of deep emotion, most like right. positive, deep positive emotion. Yeah. So thanks everyone. That's really nice. Weird though, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's been lovely to read.
It's really nice, but at the same time, it's strange how we found ourselves doing this in the way in which the weirdest thing of all about this podcast, the number one weirdest thing. Is that
among many?
Is that people like it?
Yeah,
that's the weirdest thing, isn't it? By a mile.
Yeah,
my favourite bit. Think so. I know what you're thinking, Sam. What's been your favourite bit of the 5 years? Well, I would say easily the Pinocchio Odyssey. I don't think it was that popular with the listeners, but for me, it was a dream come true. Andy being able to deep dive Pinocchio, I loved it. Any highlights for you?
I think my highlight, I don't know why, but the one that springs to mind most is the history box look at mud.
Yeah, that was good.
I think that was when we reached our most self-indulgent level.
Yeah.
Which I always enjoy.
Yeah.
And I'd look forward to at some point, possibly not till about 2036, to go back and to do mud brackets group after we've done mud brackets substance originally.
Mate, in a few years, if we keep going... ourselves that. There might be enough developments in mud science, technology and research that we have to end up going back and redoing mud itself, because what we did in the past might be outdated. The research all the time is unearthing new things about mud.
I thought for a minute there you were going to say we have to go back because some kind of third way of mud might... you know, reveal itself. We've got substance, we've got the group from the 1970s.
And there's a new mud.
And I thought you were going to say that there could be a new mud in some capacity. What that might be, I don't know.
Oh,
might
be there's, a film there's probably mud. A beauty product called mud, I would imagine.
Mate, you can get mud for the face, can't you? It's good for your face.
Yeah, face mud.
I don't think we touched on that, though, on the history box. Maybe we did. I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to see if there's a movie called Mud. Mud, there is. 2012. Matthew McConaughey. It's a coming-of-age story, simple and dense at the same time, according to Rotten Tomatoes. Beautiful, emotional and lyrical. Quite good by the looks of things. Two curious young boys encounter a fugitive, played by McConaughey, named Mud, where they live. They willingly do deeds for him and try to reunite him with his true love. Yeah, maybe we could do a deep dive into that at some point. Mud brackets movie.
There's got to be something more in self-indulgent than mud that we could discover as well to do. I mean, I liked it when we deep dived the history of the bed. That was nice.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't done oxygen or breathing yet, or water.
I mean, we've done so much self-indulgence, but we've also done so much good. I think the rabies awareness we've done earlier this year, very recently.
That saved lives, probably, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
I think...
We've saved lots of lives. We get lots of messages from people who've said, you've literally saved my life.
Because my dog was foaming. I was foaming. Yeah. And if it hadn't been for your podcast, I would have just ignored it and written it off as ordinary day-to-day foaming. I always thought that the body had to release a certain amount of foam every week in order to keep the equilibrium of the body functioning. But after listening to your pod, I sort of saw the signs. I think we developed some sort of warning sign thing like they do in those stroke advertisements, you know. Foam.
Thrashing around.
Thrashing around. Crying.
That's another one, yeah. Crying.
Yeah, you often cry if you've got rabies. If you find yourself crying, then that is a sign that you may be suffering from rabies. So, that was it. Yeah. Foaming at the mouth, thrashing around, crying from your eyes, you could have rabies. Call 999 immediately. And a few people have followed that as well. It's F... FTC, foaming, thrashing around, crying. And, and people have got themselves along to the emergency room, got tested, and got cured nice and quick.
I mean, I was being more self-aggrandizing when I said we've saved lives. We've had messages from people who said, you've got me through tough times.
Yeah.
And I might not be here without you.
Oh.
And that, to me, is something I enjoy boasting about whenever I can. I have saved lives. I like to say to people, I've got a T-shirt that says, I have saved lives.
Sometimes.
And I wear it when I go up the Asda.
I've heard sometimes ask me about it. At Sunderland home games, you've stood up on a table in the pub and held your arms out as if you were Jesus and said, I'd save lives. Come unto me. You poor, wretched souls.
Yeah. And they say, how have you saved lives? I said, I do a regular podcast with this man from London. And we rarely see each other in real life. We do it through our telephones on the screen. And they say, tell me more about it. I say, well, I'll tell you some of the titles of some of the episodes and you'll get a gist of what it's about. And I say, Number Gathering Frenzy, John Thor's Death Bench, Oedipal Victor, Backstage Chat. What else have we got? The Joy of Tap, One Arm Wendy, Ghost XL. And kicking candle tires. And you know, it's all there, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, but, it's been a roller coaster ride through life and meaning and philosophy, a lot of religion. Yeah. We used to do a lot more about God and Jesus. I miss those days. Maybe we'll bring them back soon.
They'll come back, I think. I think everything we've done will come back eventually when we get desperate and run out of ideas and start going through old episodes.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of the time, we've, you know, I've certainly milked, like, sort of the things that happened to me throughout my life, particularly my childhood, for entertainment and content. And today, something significant that I might have mentioned before was that formed partly my sense of self, my own personal identity and my worldview was turned on its head, Andy. And I'm reeling, you catch me freshly reeling, off the back of a revelation that happened in my family today. I went round to my mum's for Mother's Day. We got a takeaway curry, that's what we do on Mother's Day, because she usually cooks lunch on a Sunday, but now it's Mother's Day, you sit yourself down, we're going to order an Uber Eats, right? And then leave you, and then, no, I know you like doing things for us, so don't worry, we will leave you to do all the fucking washing up once we've scoffed it all and gone.
So you're going to leave you alone? We'll leave you alone to eat it.
She'd probably like that. My brother Theo couldn't make it. Poor show, innit? Especially after recent events.
Was he off doing something that wasn't infantile? I guess?
Yeah, he probably thought that. Sorry, mum, can't make it. Stuff. Feels like a bit. Takeaway curry sounds a bit infantile.
It's, you're my mum and everything, and it reminds me a lot of growing up when I was a lot younger.
When I was a baby. Being
infantile.
When I was unsophisticated.
I'm a mature man now.
Yeah. Mum, I won't come, and probably the easiest way of explaining why is this. I've got pubes. Goodbye.
Take the FN.
We were talking about my mum being on Facebook and there's like groups about local history. I don't know if you are members of any of the Sunderland ones, or sometimes it'd be even more specific. There might be a group just about Shiny Row, for example, on Facebook.
Are we talking about on Facebook?
On Facebook, yeah. Like,
yeah,
is there
a few of them?
Like memories of Shiny Row, stuff like that, right? Yeah. Good title for an episode, but like they're great. Let's be honest, they're fucking brilliant, mate. I mean, the other day, I saw one, and it was like, I can't remember, I remember there's loads of them, it's some West London Memories one, right? And there was a fucking Greek restaurant on Chiswick High Road in the 80s that had, and I saw it, and you know when you haven't thought of something for years, it's just been buried, and then I saw this picture, and you get a rush, don't you? Proustian rush.
Yeah.
Phrase we often use on this show. Right?
Mm-hmm.
To make ourselves sound fancy and well-read.
Intellectual, right? And worthy of Radio 4.
Yeah, we've never read Proust in our life, but we know, we vaguely understand what that phrase means. So I've got the old Proustian rush. right? And it, but
aye, aye, here it comes.
Here it comes. I can feel it. It starts in my feet. Oh, it works its way out my legs. Is. It's in my balls. Bang! It's in my nut. Right? I'm having it. Right? And it weren't the smell of the Madeleines that had kicked it off, though. It was the smell of lovely kleftiko, that type of Greek lamb where they cook it nice and slow for fucking hours, Andy. So once they serve it, it melts off the bone.
Falls off the bone, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And it, there was a Greek taverna on Chiswick High Road in the 80s, and it had it advertised outside. It was it's hard to explain how wonderful it was. It had pictures of Greek peasantry, paintings of Greek peasants dancing on its sign out the front, yeah? And it advertised Greek cabaret, right? Yeah, now you're listening, right? And I saw this picture come out. It was I'm looking at it now, right? Nufaro Restaurant, Greek cuisine, dinner, dance, and cabaret. Cabaret, Greek dancers, dancing to live music till 2 a.m., parties and weddings, right? And they've got, and I mean, it's just fucking mad. They've got all the way up this building, they got pictures of mad Greek cunts dancing, Greek paraphernalia, vases, you name it, right? It dominated that stretch of high street. And yeah, I'd forgotten about it for ages, so I sent it to my brothers. I said, do you remember that night there? We'd had the most wonderful fucking night. I think for my brother Dom's birthday, when I guess he was in his 20s and I was in my teens. And they just served you loads of plates specifically made for you to smash. But of course, it was a classic chucking out of the pub type restaurant, right? So what happened was everyone would fucking pile in, already twatted, get stuck into the Greek beers and the fucking ouzo, right? And it would just be fucking mad, like in a cowboy film, just people chucking plates at each other, smashing my rib. But they were made to smash easy, so it was really good fun because it would hurt, but not too badly. Do you know what I mean? When you smashed
it. They were like stunt plates.
They were stunt plates, yeah. And we're smashing them up. It was absolutely magic. And it was just a wonderful feeling remembering this. And, you know, I can't remember what the Greek cabaret was, but there were sexy women, obviously. Any cabaret. When you hear the word cabaret, all the likes of you and I actually hear is sexy women. Do you know what I mean? It's true, though, isn't it? You think cabaret and you actually think sexy women. Come on. I mean, cabaret means there's going to be loads of different entertainments, right? There'll be dancing, musicianship. There may even be some magic. With any luck, there might be some performing animals. With a Greek cabaret, you'd expect maybe there'd be some cats dressed up, right? Maybe. Yeah. But in amongst it all, infantile men like you and I are going to think, I've heard of some sexy women in the cabaret. Yeah, and I believe there was.
I've got to admit, that's not probably what I would have thought of first, but now that you've said it, I am thinking about it.
Think cabaret, think sex.
Think sexy women.
Right.
I'm going to put cabaret sexy women into the internet. See
we should start advertising our fucking live show as a cabaret. But then everyone turns up because they can't believe it.
Oh, I found some.
Sexy cabaret.
Some Getty Images.
Sex cabaret. A
collection of, I've just put in, cabaret women, sex symbol, sensuality came up as the result. And there's all kinds of, I'll have to leave that for later on, actually.
I was telling my brothers, I was going, later on. Are you members of any of these West London sort of memories things on Facebook? My brother Tom's like, yeah, I've seen them. My brother Cass, who just doesn't fucking understand. It's like you might as well be talking to someone from the fucking 1800s if you try to engage him in something like that. It's like, what are you talking about? He is on Facebook, but put it this way, right? I used to hack him every week. If we went to his house for lunch, I would get his phone, I would go on Facebook, and I would change his profile picture, right? Every week.
Did he not even have a lock on his phone or a password or anything like that?
I'd go on his phone, I changed his, he's a QPR fan, so I changed his fucking profile image to John Terry, right? John Terry, like, in a Chelsea kit lifting the cup, right? And he'd be like, while I was sitting there, fucking hell, have you seen this? I can't believe it. But like, is it, no, that was it. To make it even more obvious that it had been me, I couldn't wait because, you know, famously, I'm very impatient. I couldn't wait for him to see it, right? And he's sort of person who might log on. I'm going to log on to Facebook like once every 2 months, right? To see what's happening. I'm going to log on to that Facebook thing. And I couldn't wait that long. So I said, shit, Casa, I don't know what's happening, whether it's a joke or maybe you've been hacked, God forbid, but I was just looking on Facebook. Oh, yeah, the Facebook, I'm on that. Yes, I know you are. I know you're on it. And unfortunately, your profile picture has been changed to John Terry. What? My profile, what? Your profile picture. What's that? It's a fucking...
Has John Terry got on my internet?
Why is John Terry in my internet? Show it to me. So we show it to him, right? He's like, fucking hell, this is outrageous. I hate John Terry. And you're like, yes, I know.
This is the worst thing that could possibly happen.
It was like that. And he got himself into a fucking mad. He spiraled into a panic. I knew he'd ask his son, my nephew, Fred, and he's always up for a good laugh. So I told Fred, look, I'm going to... Fred, just a quick one, mate. I'm about to torment your father by hacking his Facebook. And he's like, yeah, fine. And I said, now listen, he was like, good. And I was like, he's gonna panic. He'll go into a blind panic. He'll get angry. There'll be five phases of it, like grief. There'll be denial, confusion, anger, will tears, hysteria.
Right. Will there be acceptance?
No, but there, one thing there won't be is acceptance, right? So I said, he'll come to you because you're like his ambassador on earth, right? He'll come to you, his only son, and say, son, how can I fix this? I said, now, I'm going to tell him that the only way it can be fixed is if he writes to Facebook's head office in San Francisco, right, and provides them with evidence that it definitely wasn't him who put that picture there, and that it's often up to a month while they review the case. And Fred's just like, yeah, okay. I said, so I'll tell him that. Good. And I just need you to confirm that to him when he asks you. He goes, yeah, fine.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño. Jalapeño.
So I've told Casco, wow, this is a problem, mate. This has happened before to me. They say it might be Russians, Chinese. No one knows who's doing it, but they obviously know a lot about you. They must know it's all about me, because why would they choose that specifically? And I go, well, exactly. Now, what you're going to have to do, because I've got a mate who's gone through this, you're going to have to write to Facebook. Write to them? Where are they? I said, well, they're in San Francisco. That's where all the internet is, mate. You're going to have to write. Fucking hell. How long's that going to be there? I said, well, they review the case. You have to send them evidence. Evidence? I'll send them evidence, all right? I've been a QPR season to get older 40 years.
Can I send an email? No, it's got to be a hard copy.
No, it's got
sorry.
To be, yeah, you've got to handwrite it as well. They don't accept typed letters.
You've got to print out all the evidence as well.
Yeah, and photocopy everything 3 times. They need 3 copies of everything because it has to be distributed to different departments.
Make sure you just send it to the internet, copyright, courtesy of San Francisco.
So basically, I told him all this shit. He ran to his son. His son said, yeah, that's true. It takes about a month. It's happened to me before. So he's fuming, right? And then he's run off. And he usually then goes to his wife and asks her to help him. Can you help me get all the evidence together?
I need to write on the internet in San Francisco.
I'm going to need a lot of paperwork. Where do we minimum. Keep... Have we still got that box file that we keep all of our admin in? So he did that, right? And I don't know if he... Before he'd got round to fucking sending anything off to San Francisco, I come back the next week. He still hasn't cottoned on. I've turned up and gone, what's going on with the old Facebook? but I've already been back in this phone as soon as I've got through the front door. And I've changed it to a picture of David Cameron on the steps of Downing Street. I said, are they fucking... He goes, oh, I haven't been able to send anything off. I'm trying not to think about it. And I said, well, check, because sometimes you just get lucky and it just changes back automatically. You're sometimes lucky. Have a check. Have you logged on this week? No, I haven't logged on. Look, I've been trying to ignore it. Well, look, have a log on now and look, they might have changed it back. So he logs on. What the fuck's this? David Cameron? I hate David Cameron. Oh, I know. Oh, my God, mate. If anything, you hate him more than you hate John Terry.
Well, the John Terry.
That's true. I don't. This is the only thing that could have been worse.
Oh, they wow. Spying on me.
You're really fucked now. I said, because if you write and say to them, please change John Terry, please change my profile picture to what it was before, they're going to change it back from David Cameron to John Terry.
John Terry, yeah.
So I don't know if you'll even be able to get him to double change it. Right. Anyway, that was his understanding of Facebook and social media. That obviously, that was a few years ago because David Cameron was still Prime Minister and John Terry was still active in society, in football and society.
Yeah.
And so I said, have you seen it? He goes, no. I said, well, it's worth you going on there just to see how Mum reacts to everything on there. And he said, what do you mean? I said, she's a member of every group of that nature. And every day, to provoke engagement, they put questions on. And they'll put a picture, for instance, of the number 65 bus. If anyone listening grew up in West London, they'll know the 65 bus was a classic that went through sort of Brentford and Hounslow. It was Brentford and Hounslow. Actually, a horrible route. I consider it a horrible route. But anyway, that's another story, right? Very ugly route.
Okay.
And
oh, is it a horrible route because of how long it took to get from A to B, or just horrible because of where it went?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, and I say this as a former resident of Brentford, it's Brentford and Isleworth and Hounslow. No offence to anyone who still lives there. They're pretty ugly areas, I've got to be honest. Or at least they were back then. Anyway, there's a fucking route master and it'll just go, who remembers the number 65 bus?
Yeah.
And I will always look at it. I'll think, oh, this will be good because my mum will have been on this as soon as possible.
She'll have remembered it, yeah.
And under all of the comments, it'll always be my mum's name and it'll just say, yes. Right? And that's it, right? But she answers everything across about 10 fucking groups, right? It'll say, who remembers Top Hat, the dry cleaners on the high road?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Has there ever been anything she hasn't remembered that has replied in the negative to?
I dread the day. No, don't remember. Bit worried about this. Must be my nuts gone. Or he's going. I have no recollection. She does it for like even those corporate ones as well. She's a data farmer's fucking dream.
Yeah.
It'll be like, huh.
Well, I mean, that's what it's for.
Nivea saying, Nivea's face group page saying, come on then, guys. The age old debate. What is it? Jam first or cream first? There's something Brits will never agree on. Cream or jam? Which is it? Jam.
Fucking hell.
My mum will be guaranteed to write jam. She's the original.
Jam first, then cream.
I don't know what she'll write, but whether it's jam or cream, I don't know which way she does it. I suspect she does jam first, but I don't want to get into that.
It's just jam. It's jam then cream, isn't it?
That's what I would always do, but I really don't want to get into it. Like we've already said too much because there are a lot of pricks who will be now messaging us, and our inbox sometimes.
We talked about scones last week, and there was
some
feedback.
Contact us?
Because we were pronouncing it wrong, apparently.
Oh, fuck off. Who cares? Who cares about... Exactly. I'll tell you two things that don't matter. How you pronounce something and how you spell something, right? I don't care. Don't fucking care. Shut up about it.
And also, as you've touched upon before, time.
Time doesn't matter either.
Time doesn't matter.
All these things are invented by Lampards, right? Time was the original Lampard invention. And... Yeah. Ditto spelling and pronunciations. It's for cunts.
No, I was at the match with my brother yesterday and he had his Apple Watch on and it told him that he'd passed his movement target for the day, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it did a little ping.
Yeah.
And I said, I had one of them Apple watches, but it got on my nerves, so I never wore it. He says, do you not wear a watch then? I says, no, time's for cunts.
Yeah, it is. You're but, right to say that.
It is.
Did he agree?
Yeah. Ah, he was perplexed.
It is for cunts. And listen, I understand, you know, me and Andy have carved out a life for ourselves where we no longer have to observe time. Fair enough. And not everyone has that luxury or privilege. But I'm telling you, it's a tool of the boss classes.
It's a
manipulation tool, right, of our oppressors to make you fucking do things. Half the time for their entertainment. Not just their service, their entertainment. Let's make these serfs arrive. I want to tell them that if they don't arrive at a time when the sun is at a specific place in the sky, then I shall punish them. It's a game to these cunts.
Exactly.
It's an absolute game. It's a game invented by fucking Tories. And if you are wearing a watch, right, then you are fucking complicit in that game. And all I can say to all of you is, right, if you want Sunak and all those other cunts out, the first step to that is simple. Take your watch off now, right, and throw it. Throw it in the nearest body of water. If you live near the sea, get it in the sea. If you live near a river, get it in the river. If you live near a canal, get it in there. And if you don't live near any of those things, say you live in the Midlands, right, and there's not much water around, right, just throw it in the bath. Run a bath and throw your watch in. Drown the cunt.
I'm just looking now because I think on the IFS Turbo, which is, of course, the one you want to be on if you want to get the full experience of this podcast. I think you wrote a thing about how time's a load of bollocks.
I did a while ago.
Look for it now.
There's also there's an animation done by a bloke called Canning Town Len, who's a West Ham fan, I know, and a really good animator. Yeah. And he once animated bits and bobs of Top Flight Time Machine with animations of us both. And it was a previous rant about time from a while ago.
Right.
Do you remember that? There's a cartoon you in it.
I kind of vaguely do. I remember him doing the animations. And then did he stop because we didn't give him any money?
Maybe that was the reason. I don't know. I don't know. I can't remember him asking for money, to be honest, but I suppose he might have expected some.
Yeah, there it is. The TFTM Turbo campaign for the abolition of time.
Yeah.
1st of February 2022.
Fuck time.
Yeah, good stuff.
So I can't remember where we were at. Oh, anyway. Yeah, anyway, shall I just tell you, I don't know how long we've been recording for, but I did say a lot earlier that something had changed my worldview about my life.
Yeah, I was hoping to get back to that.
Do you remember me telling you about the day that my dog, Bella, was put down vets by lethal injection?
Yeah.
It was one of the worst days of my life. Anyway, we were talking about that around my mum's side because I took Cookie with me and we were noticing how Cookie went straight under the dining table in the kitchen to have a rest. And we were like, that's weird, isn't it? Because that's where Bella used to go. Maybe she can smell it. Maybe she can smell Bella, even though Bella died in 1994, right? So we were talking about Bella and we were talking about, my brother Don went, I think it was under that table where we first saw that her eyes had gone yellow and she was probably going to die. So then we talked, my mum's, do you remember? We went up the Blue Cross. In those days, you didn't even have to pay for them to put your dog down. Which, by the way, I'm not sure that's true.
Days.
But she got all dewy-eyed about free terminations.
When I think
what these Tories have done to this country. But, Mum, the Tories were in power in 94 and all. I can't believe it. Now, a lot of people can't afford to kill their cats. Right?
Just keep them.
They have to keep them in the house.
Naturally.
But I've told you, it's a bittersweet memory because we took Bella up to the Blue Cross to be put down. Put it down. Well, his eyes have gone all yellow, fuck's sake. Right? And
I'll wait outside.
I'm not going to watch it. Ta-da, Bella. Thanks for the memories. Right.
See you in heaven. Unless there's a separate one for pets.
I hope not. But if there is, all the best. I hope you have as much chum as you can fucking stomach. Maybe you'll get more walks out there and all. Sorry that we only ever let you out the front on your own. Right. I did have a lot of guilt surrounding that about the way in which she lived. But I always remember this good bit, which I'm sure I've told you, is that there was I would have been like 19 or coming up for 19. Yeah. I think it might have been just for my 19th birthday. And there was an attractive nurse, veterinary nurse.
Yes, I remember
nurse.
This bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she caught my eye. She caught my fancy. But I try not to. I thought, well, it's not appropriate to think romantic thoughts when the dog's about to
it's
be put
probably
down.
Unethical.
Yeah, it's unethical to the dog and that. So they
I'm all
said,
about the ethics.
Do you want to stay? And I said, no. So I went out and I sat on the steps outside and my mum stayed in and they killed Bella. And when my mum came out, I was very upset and emotional. And she went, oh, it's sad. But she went very peacefully. I was like, oh, that's nice at least. Oh, it's such a shame. She went, yeah. And then my mum goes, yeah, but you know that nurse? I went, oh, yeah. Did you know she was quite pretty, weren't she? And I went, yeah. Yeah, I think she liked you. And I went, do you? Why did she say that? She went, I saw her giving you the eye. And I said, did you really? She went, yeah. And she said something about you. And Ella said, oh, say goodbye to your son. He's very nice. I said, are you joking? And she went, no, I'm not joking. I think you're in there. And I was like, brilliant. And she went, anyway, don't go back in there now because it's a bit sensitive and Bella's still lying there on the table, dead. So you don't want to ask a Doris out when the fact that there's your dog's corpse lying between you both. Go back some other day. You know where she works. You can call her. So I said, all right, come on then. And I thought, oh, that's nice. Anyway, today we're talking about it. She went, oh, I was so sad when Bella got put down. I went, yeah. And I went, yeah, but do you remember that nurse who fancied me? And my mum went, what? And I went, that nurse, she fancied me. There was a pretty nurse. She went, what are you talking about? And I went, there was a nurse. I'm trying to show off to my brothers. I'm going, yeah, there was a nurse there. And she fancied me on the day that Bella got put down. And they're going, oh, shut up. You shouldn't have been thinking things like that. It's unethical. You dirty bugger. And my mum went, I don't remember that at all. And she went, how do you know? And I said, you told me. And she went, oh. And she did a little grin. And I went, did you fucking make that up? I said, you made that up to try and cheer me up. She went, well, I might have done. I knew that you felt sad. And I went, all these years, I thought that fucking nurse fancied me. And I never went back because I was too shy. But at least I carried the knowledge around. Sometimes the knowledge that someone likes you is enough, Andy. You know that. Everyone listening knows that.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes that's enough. You don't need to even act. You think, oh, that's nice. It's a little, it's flattering. And so I held that. I held that, right?
In your heart.
And I'm like, and my mum just starts, this is today, my mum starts pissing herself laughing, right? And I'm like, it's not funny. What were you like? Oh, I tell you what, my son out there, you know, the gormless looking one. As you can probably guess, he's not had much luck with the ladies over the years. Could you see your way fit if I slip you a fiver just to give him a little wink? It'll make his day, God bless him. He was close to that dog. And I can tell you, I don't expect him to ever leave home because, let's be honest, he's a funny sort of fella. He's never going to have much luck with the ladies. He'll be living there in my spare room till I'm old and grey.
To be honest, he's got less going on with the dog and the dog's just died. At least the dog used to go out of town. He don't.
The dog, in comparison to him, was like fucking Liza Minnelli, the social life she had. No, it's a shame for him. He had nothing in his life apart from that dog. Now it's dead. He's never going to get himself a Doris. Go on, give him a little wink. Do something a bit saucy, like lick your lips a little bit, and I'll slip you a fiver before I leave.
Like Barbara Windsor, something like that. He's a bit simple, he'll respond to that kind of thing.
You see what he looks like. He's like fucking Charles Autry. He's a confirmed bachelor, that one, I tell you. No, I've got four boys, but there's something up with him. I don't know, he's very shy. He's a very shy lad, I suppose. Anyway, I don't know what she said, but it became apparent that all these years, every time I think, and I'm not even joking when I say this, every time I think of my dog dying, right, it is offset by the memory of the pretty nurse fancying him, right? I always think, that's what I've told you. Whenever the dog come out, I go, yeah, that was sad. Well, but remember that nurse who liked me? And now, after all these years, on Mother's Day, I've gone round there, I made her a card, right? Yeah. I got a box of chocolates, right?
Yeah.
And I ordered the curry off Uber Eats. Not Dom, not Cass. Yeah. I fucking ordered it. We split the cost, but that's not the point.
I was going to say, I went
to the trouble of actually doing it on my phone, right? So yeah. That's extra special. And she, it's like one of those, but it's like when you, like, who do you think you are or something? I'm like, oh my God, all these years I thought I was the sort of lad who was fancied by veterinary nurses. And now it turns out it was all a lie. I'm sitting here before you today on the fifth anniversary of this podcast. And I tell you straight, Andy, I no longer know who I am.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Man, I mean, two things. We're going to have to delete the episode about that story when you first told it, because it wasn't true.
Yeah.
And
it's like the Hitler diaries. It's like, remember that geezer who faked the Hitler diaries? That's what that episode is like now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's history. History's been debunked. It needs to be struck from the record. So we'll have to delete that.
Don't blame me. Blame my mum.
Yeah. There was a second thing I thought I was going to say, but I forgot what it was now, so we'll not worry too much about
it. On the West London group, it'll say, do you remember that time popular podcaster Sam Delaney was fancied by the sexy veterinary nurse up the Blue Cross in Hammersmith? And she will write underneath, for the first time ever, no.
No.
No. And then she'll do the crying with laughter emoji.
Oh, God. I reckon that's about it. Oh, very quickly, I'll just let you know, I am currently waiting for COVID.
No.
Quite similarly to waiting for Godot.
Yeah.
But this is waiting for COVID. I was around someone a couple of days ago who was coughing a bit. Mm. And I said, you haven't got COVID, have you? And he said, no, I took a test this morning. No COVID on me. Just got a text half an hour ago. Guess who's got COVID?
The cunt.
So, I'm not going to name who they are, because obviously patient confidentiality is important.
COVID cunt.
But, yeah, but I'm not naming them for now anyway. So, I am now waiting for COVID.
Oh, well, I wish you all the best, mate. What will that be? The hat trick? You've had it twice, haven't you?
That'd just be the second one.
Oh, will it?
Once before.
All right.
But there's a lot of it about, Sam. I don't know if you've got any anecdotal evidence.
No, I haven't heard of any COVID recently, no.
There's a lot of it going around, apparently. I know a few people that's got it at the minute.
I've never had it, so I reckon I might be immune to it.
Maybe you are. Maybe you've had it symptomless. Who knows?
Famous last words. I'll probably die of it now.
Yeah, probably. So we'll see how that goes over the next few days. That's about it, I think.
Yeah.
For this one. For this anniversary special, which we'll call it that. Predictions. I got three. You got three. Results book got four.
Fuck!
Results spot closes the gap to 7 points behind me. You are still, I can't even work it out, 32 points behind me.
Right.
But, you know. What's happening this week? Just the usual stuff, innit?
Episodes. Noel on Concord, Roy at the Rovers, and...
Oh, the Top Flight Tune Machine, which has now moved to Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah, so it's...
Which you should have got an indication about on the IFS email service. Yeah. All right. Thanks very much for listening. Keep buying tickets for our live shows next month. Liverpool and London, dangerously low levels of tickets still available. So if you're thinking about it,
get in now.
Yeah.
So are you saying that there's more available in Manchester and Birmingham and Brighton?
I don't know the Manchester numbers. Birmingham will be, because, yeah, Birmingham's fine. No one ever comes to Birmingham. And Brighton, I don't know about Brighton actually, I need to check that, but Liverpool and London are in
I'm
very
really looking forward to Liverpool
out.
One because we haven't been back there in a few years, so, and I'm excited to hear that we've sold a lot.
Great venue as well.
Yeah,
great venue as well. Looking forward to that. Alright, thanks very much for listening, and snip snap snout, this tale's told out. Goodbye.
Okay. Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.